Later in the program, speaking of the arts with Diane Karp, right now I am delighted to welcome to the program Kelly Allen and Melissa Tiernan. They're acupuncturists at We the People Community Acupuncture. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So this is, you are part of basically a worldwide movement, particularly in the United States. It's the Community Acupuncture Movement. What's it all about?
The Community Acupuncture Movement is basically creating possibility for people to access acupuncture in a way that they haven't been able to before. What we find is that acupuncture is an amazing, powerful medicine. It's useful for so many things, especially so many conditions that people are suffering from today. Stress, pain of all kinds, chronic conditions, acute conditions. And acupuncture can help with all of those things. And what we're lucky to be part of an organization of community acupuncturists around the country that was started just over 10 years ago by a couple in Portland, Oregon. And what they found was that they were working as acupuncturists, but they really weren't able to serve as many people as they wanted. Acupuncture is either priced according to what people of great means can pay, or you might have access to acupuncture if you are, maybe in a treatment center or that sort of thing. And what they realized was they wanted to be able to treat their friends and neighbors and, you know, people of ordinary income. So community acupuncture is a way to reclaim acupuncture for 70 to 80% of Americans who would love to access it and who actually embrace it and love it, but mostly couldn't afford it.
And so you have a sliding scale that starts very low, and even the high end is lower than most acupuncture sessions. And how do you do that? How are you able to afford to do it?
We see a high volume of patients. At our clinic, we see anywhere between 150 and 200 patients a week. We have found that with pretty quick diagnosis, acupuncture is pretty easy to diagnose.
Diagnosis is easy in acupuncture? Is that what you're saying?
It's really not that hard for the majority of things that people are suffering from. So we see a high number of people, we put the needles in, we spend about 10 minutes with the patient, and then they can stay with their needles for as long as they need. That's where the magic happens, not so much FaceTime with us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, I went over to the center that you have, We the People Community Acupuncture, and you have a group treatment room with basically what looks like a bunch of Lazy Boy recliners.
That's it.
In the room, and so instead of using treatment tables, people are kind of reclining. Why do you use those?
Well, again, I mean, it sort of came from practicality, honestly. Initially, when Lisa and Skip, who are the founders of Working Class Acupuncture in Portland, you know, they really broke it down. What are the necessary elements for an effective acupuncture treatment? And when it comes down to it, it's in a trained acupuncturist, a comfortable place to sit, and some needles. And, you know, when you're starting a small business, anyone who's started a small business from scratch knows that resources are tight. And treatment tables are expensive. They take up a lot of space.
They're more expensive than a Lazy Boy recliner?
Well, in our case, Lazy Boy recliners come from our community. So they come from Craigslist. They come from people who are moving. They come
right.
from people donating them. Mm-hmm. We've never paid more than $50 for a recliner in our center. And
oh,
people
that's so interesting.
Grow to love them. So they're comfortable. They're functional. And honestly, they get into a lot of this idea of, like, creating a comfortable third place for people that's homey, you know, that's somewhere that they want to go, that they feel they can bring their friends and family. It's not an intimidating medical environment necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in isolation in an individual room, which is the sort of general model that acupuncturists practice. So recliners are wonderful, and people really tend to love them once they have an experience in them.
Yeah, we like that our treatment space looks like a living room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of sleeping that goes on once you put the needles in. Is that part of the therapeutic process?
It just seems to be what happens. People get needles and they go to sleep.
And honestly, it is part of the therapeutic process. I mean, we're seeing more and more that one of the main things that people suffer from in our culture today is stress and an inability to really go into a profound, deep state of rest. I mean, that's probably a big part of why people are meditating all the time, practicing yoga, all these different sort of internal practices, because we just really don't get a chance to stop and rest and be with ourselves. And a lot of what happens with acupuncture is, if we believe that the body is a self-regulating mechanism and a self-healing mechanism, then we need time to let that do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so 40, 45 minutes of just being in that place with needles in, letting the needles do the work, honestly, I think that's a big part of the therapeutic process, and people love it.
And it's an opportunity to sort of switch the nervous system out of flight or fright.
Right, which a lot of people are in a lot of the time.
And you need to get out of that for some healing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the kinds of conditions that acupuncture can treat are almost anything, but it's as good for prevention as it is for treatment, if I understand correctly.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky enough to be able to use acupuncture for prevention, you should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What kind of conditions do people come in with?
You know, people suffer a lot these days. There's profound pain, psycho-emotional, spiritual pain. There's physical pain. There are chronic internal conditions such as hypertension, thyroid disorders, hormonal imbalances, arthritis. You know, lots of side effects of just going to work every day. Mm-hmm. You know, body pain.
Which is, I think, another reason why, I mean, we love being able to have people start to rely on acupuncture as something to just keep them going in their regular life to whatever extent, you know, whether they're actually in a state of chronic illness or if they just need a little more energy to get to their job, to be with present in their life, to be with their family, to be able to run around with their grandkids. You know, just those day-to-day, be able to use acupuncture as a day-to-day way to maintain your energy, to be able to really engage with your life. So even though we see everything from very, very serious conditions, people post-chemo who are trying to regain their strength, you know, chronic conditions, fibromyalgia, as Kelly said, pain of all kinds, as well as just, you know, acute injuries, you know. You broke your leg skiing, you broke your leg when you were working, you know, you need to be able to get back to work.
They got to go to the hospital to set the leg.
Of course they do, yeah.
And then they go to acupuncture for pain afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you handle, I mean, you have a walk-in clinic, how do you handle traffic? Do you ever have sometimes where there's too many people there to treat and sometimes where it's kind of a slow period? Yeah.
We take appointments and walk-ins because we're all about accessibility, actually. The community acupuncture movement is about accessibility. And sometimes that's as simple as knowing that you're going to have a spare hour, you can walk in. Appointments can be a stumbling block to getting care sometimes. So appointments get priority. They'll be seen at their appointment time, and walk-ins will be seen as soon as we can.
Yeah.
And it's actually really fun. It's a really fun way to practice. I mean, it's... when you said we have periods that might be slower and periods that are busy, there's actually nothing more exciting to a community acupuncturist than to have five people walk in all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it does is it really challenges your assumptions about what acupuncture is, how people can use it, and how simple it actually is. So it gets us out of the way, so to speak. You know, you get really refined in your skills and being able to, as Kelly said, diagnose quickly with the skills that you have and get the needles in and basically step back and get out of the way and let people rest with the needles. So, you know, it takes maybe 5 minutes to get needles in with a regular patient, and then they can stay as long as they want, and we're moving on and helping other people. So there's something kind of exciting and fun about having people walk in and say, this is my family. I brought four members of my family in today.
Yeah.
And to have them be able to all be treated together. So we love it.
We get to say yes all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Very interesting, which I suppose one of the reasons doctors are so stressed out right now is they're caught between every kind of bureaucracy and the economic system and all of that. And this is really, in a lot of ways, a challenge to the deep, deep problems with the medical system that we have in the United States right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about the level of suffering that people are living with day to day, we have a medicine that is so simple and so easy to practice and so cheap, really, fundamentally, aside from there's a lot of background issues.
Well, it's not that simple. I mean, it's 4,000 years of Chinese medicine. There's a great deal of wisdom. You had to go to school for years to learn it.
But functionally, actually, in practicing it, again, it's a lot about just meeting the person where they are. And if you break it out into realizing that people aren't going to just be coming to see you once a month or once every 6 months, they're going to be coming to see you frequently enough that they're going to get the repetition of that, the effectiveness of that treatment. So, simple in the sense of adding one to another to another. It's the same as, you know, physical therapy or someone going to cardiac rehab. It's a step-by-step process. And so people being able to engage in the process like that is really, you know, the way we look at it. And in terms of the overall medical system, to have something so simple, so easy, and so wonderful for so many conditions and not have people be able to access it, it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Kelly Allen and Melissa Tiernan about We the People Community Acupuncture. Now, how is the rest of the... not medical system, but acupuncture system. I mean, there's a lot of acupuncturists who have an office with one table. They charge, really, I mean, for most people, I would say, prohibitive amounts. Sometimes it's covered by insurance. Sometimes that's difficult. How is that whole group of people responding to this movement?
I'd say there's some definitely some mixed results. I mean, some mixed reactions. Certainly, whenever you're challenging a system that's been existing in a certain way for, in our case, 30 years in the United States, you know, it's going to cause some friction for sure. There are definitely, we're not to say that people who are practicing one-on-one model don't value their patients and do everything possible to create a great experience for them. It's just that overall, as a system, we haven't responded to the vast majority of people in the middle that, as you say, may not be covered by insurance. Our own profession has done a study that was quite celebrated, that 3% of Americans have actually ever tried acupuncture. And there was quite fanfare. It had gone from 1% to 3%, which sounded really fantastic. 2 more percent, which means 97% of Americans have never tried acupuncture.
Right.
So we have a model that has basically existed for 30 years that maybe hasn't really come to fruition in terms of making this profession, you know, viable for a lot of people who want to practice it, and certainly hasn't answered the needs of 97% of the patients who might want to try it.
Well, I mean, it is pretty relatively new. I mean, when I was in college, nobody went to acupuncturists. It was unheard of. And I met a woman probably about 10 years ago who studied probably with the two of you here in Santa Fe in one of the acupuncture schools. And when she graduated, she moved to Colorado Springs. And I think there were 3 acupuncturists in the whole town. And she made a wonderful living. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's not in Santa Fe and not in certain places, but in many sort of small to medium cities, there aren't the practitioners.
Right. Well, it's considered kind of weird. I mean, why would it help? You put needles in someone, they ask you to do it, and then they feel better. I mean, it's a lot to wrap your mind around if you haven't experienced it or had it in your culture, like we do in Santa Fe.
And I think, you know, part of it is it definitely comes down to a little bit of values and a little bit of economic reality. You know, we're sort of taught, you know, we're trained that we're valued at a certain level and that things that are expensive are more valuable, when in reality what we see is that people are quite... they really value the care that they're getting. And if they can't get it, then it's really not that valuable to them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as practitioners, I think we think a lot about what we need to do for ourselves to be comfortable. And what I think we need to do is turn that model on its head and say, what do patients really need? And that's what community acupuncturists around the country are doing. What does my community need in terms of creating a healthy community? And how can I do that in a sustainable way that gives them a healthy place to be, as well as to create a living wage for acupuncturists? So, as you said, people 20 years ago graduating from acupuncture school also had a very different economic reality. They may have paid $5,000 for their entire acupuncture education.
Ah.
Acupuncture students graduating presently spend anywhere between $60,000 and $100,000.
Right.
And end up with quite a bit of debt. So it's tough to think about creating a sustainable practice when you have that kind of load. And so what community acupuncture is doing is creating an alternative, an actual viable alternative for you to make a living wage and have a sustainable business for your community and for yourself as a practitioner.
So you guys are surviving on your community acupuncture center?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And our goal, actually, the other main thing about community acupuncture clinics that's slightly different is, and I think it's a lot of pressure to be a sole practitioner. It's a lot of pressure to start a small business. We don't have a lot of support for that. What this movement is doing is trying to create a network of support for small businesses who are trying to create these types of clinics, and creating sustainable clinics that are social businesses, which basically means, you know, not necessarily a capital business or capitalist business where you're going to extract as much income as you can. It's meant to create social benefits. In our case, the social benefits are healthcare, living wage jobs, not only for practitioners, but for support staff, mm-hmm. you know, receptionists, other employees, other acupuncturists.
Stronger community.
When our clinic gets beyond what we need for survival, which we're at a point now where we're getting ready to hire, we want to create jobs.
Yeah.
We want to create something that's here for our community. If Kelly and I, for whatever reason, needed to step out of our clinic, there's something that's sustainable that will continue to exist. And that's what we're trying as a movement to create around the country.
And you had asked, you know, what some of the feedback is from other acupuncturists who are practicing the more traditional way in this country. And it's a mixed bag. We get a lot of support. We get referrals from local acupuncturists in town. We get a lot of good vibes. We also get, you know, the devaluing the profession line. And, you know, as Melissa says, sometimes we're not devaluing the profession. We're revaluing the profession by getting it out there.
Yeah.
And getting, you know, chipping away at that 97% who have never received acupuncture in this country. And one of the goals of POCA, it's in the vision statement.
POCA.
People's Organization of Community Acupuncture. Sorry, we call it POCA.
Yeah.
Is to provide at least 50 million affordable acupuncture treatments by the year 2020.
That's a lot of acupuncture treatments.
We're on it.
I think the other thing when you ask, you know, are we surviving? We're surviving and thriving because, you know what, we're living our values. We have a business that allows us to live our values every day. We get to interact with our community. You know, we have a large patient base, and we see them everywhere, all over town. And there's nothing more rewarding than to have patients tell us things like, I just lost my job, and I didn't know where else to go. Yeah. And I knew I could come here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when they lose family members or illness, you know, diagnoses, mm-hmm. they come to us. They come to the clinic knowing that it's a safe place. So, you know, it's a fantastic way to practice. It's a wonderful way to engage with our community.
Yeah. I mean, there's some, you know, politics, and there's suffering, and there's pain, and there's also so much joy and so many miracles that we see happen that are just the miracle of, you know, what frequent acupuncture can do.
Right.
Yeah. And so much laughter. And mm-hmm. yeah, we're thriving. Yeah. We're paying the bills and thriving in every way.
What are some of the, I mean, without naming any names or being too specific, but what are some of the success stories that you've had of people who've come in lousy shape and maybe couldn't afford other kinds of healthcare?
Well, I mean, everything, like I said, from what would seem to be so simple, things that you might not even see as progress when someone comes in and says, I had such severe anxiety that I wasn't able to leave my house. And after having a treatment, I was able to walk outside at night in the dark and feel the cool and help my dog, like, be rescued from coyotes, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
Simple. What is that? You know, I wasn't able to leave my house, and now I am. I couldn't walk further than, you know, to my mailbox, and now I'm taking a trip to San Francisco with my granddaughters. You know, I had to have chemo. I have, you know, chemo every 3 days. I was sick every day in between. With getting some acupuncture, I get 2 full days of not feeling nauseous and being able to engage my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I mean, yeah. Every day, very simple things where people had limitations in their life, weren't able to enjoy the life, weren't able to work. I mean, Kelly can tell you about our very, very first patient who was an artist and wasn't...
Mm-hmm. She had been receiving acupuncture, and is, you know, even if you have insurance for acupuncture, it may cover, what, 10 visits a year or something.
Right.
So she was no longer able to receive it. She was an artist with frozen shoulder. Her joy and her livelihood were out of reach for her. And she came in, I think, 2 or 3 times a week, and next thing you know, she's painting, and she's back in the joy of her life and how mm-hmm. she identifies herself.
Mm-hmm. One of our favorite patients who's works construction primarily during the day, also has a band with members of his family, and has, you know, his hands bother him, his wrists bother him, and he wants to be able to play his instrument and dance.
Ah, and he does dance.
and is able to. How important is frequency? In other words, going once a week versus going 3 times a week?
It kind of depends what's going on, and we do give a treatment plan on an individual basis at, you know, your first interview, and, you know, some people, they're great. They come in and they need a tune-up, they don't have any pressing issues, they want to keep some things under control, or maybe they have really, you know, long-term problems, and, you know, weekly or every 10 days or once every 2 weeks will be great for them. But a lot of people pass our threshold who are in crisis. You know, it's unbearable at that point for them, whatever is going on.
Or nothing has worked.
Or nothing has worked. And they may need acupuncture every other day until they decide that it's bearable and they have some quality of life back. And that might take a week. It might take 2 weeks.
Right.
It's not forever. Right. You know.
Kelly Allen and Melissa Tiernan are acupuncturists at We the People Community Acupuncture, which is at 1406 2nd Street here in Santa Fe. The number is 982-3711, and it's weacupuncture.com. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is the director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning. And Jay Shinto is here to tell us about a poetry battle and jam. Is that what it is?
That's right.
What's going on?
It's a bit of poetic babbling and juxtaposition, hopefully by everybody in our community. It's this Sunday at 4:30 at the Better Day, and the spread, which is really the theme, is Hindsight 2012, Shake the Dust.
So Hindsight 2012, this is not a Mayan calendar day.
No, it's just about, looking back into your past, into your old journals, into anything, your personal cycles. I mean, oftentimes we look back and hindsight is such a killer, you know, you can never, know then what you know now.
Well, as Duncan Watts said on this very program the other day, actually the title of his book is Everything is Obvious Once You Know the Answer.
Yeah, totally, exactly. And the whole idea behind this is really to get people out here and just shake their dust. And if it's not relevant to them anymore, if they're not in the place that they were then, it's relevant to somebody else, and it's going to help us grow and help other people learn. Like, give it to somebody else, shake your dust, and offer that piece of knowledge, you know.
So this is an open mic kind of thing?
Yeah, think open mic with direction. We're calling out people, everybody, you know, poetry is everywhere, and we want slam poets, we want writers, we want screenplay writers, we want, you know, singers doing a cappella sets, like, we want it all, you know, haikus to sonnets, we want it.
So bring it on.
That just That's rhymed. Right. Haiku to sonnet, we want it.
That's right.
So it's Sunday, this Sunday, the 5th of August at the Better Day Coffee Shop in the Solana Center, which is where the
old Annapurna's used to be.
Yeah, the Montañita is. It's at 4:30 in the afternoon, and there is a website, Poets Burning Journals, is that what it is?
That's right, poetsburningjournals.yolasite.com. And you can also go to Facebook and like PB&J Santa Fe.
PB&J.
That's right.
It's not peanut butter and jelly, ladies and gentlemen. It's poetry, battle, and jam. And Jay Shinto is telling us about it. Thank you so much, and we will see you
Hope
on Sunday.
See you there.
Great.
Everybody come out, bring your stories, bring your poetry, bring your songs.
Exactly.
It's really wonderful. You know, Santa Fe has begun to sprout storytelling and poetry. There's the speakeasy that's sort of bubbled up from the ground, just as what Jay is describing.
I thought that a speakeasy was where you drink bathtub gin.
That's what it used to be. And we're going to talk something about what used to be and what now is as we go through. But the speakeasy is this group of young people that decided they wanted to hear the stories, personal stories, of people's lives. And so they created this once monthly evening at Backroads Pizza.
Oh,
and you
right,
can
I heard
bring
about
your
that.
Story. The stories are fabulous. And I'm sure that those things that sort of bubble up from the community really are going to hopefully have legs. And I just want to say up front that
that was a really mixed metaphor.
Bubbling up and having legs.
Yeah.
We want them to last. We want to support them. So community's got to come out, and the Art Institute will be delighted to make connections and spread the word. It's exactly the kinds of programmings that we want to support from the community, not top down, but bottom up.
Did we just make a little connection here?
I think we did.
Yay.
Yay.
Totally. All right, so before we speak of the arts, we're going to speak about kitties. And Felines and Friend always sends me every Thursday. They're great. They send the cat of the week, and this week's featured cat is Billy Bob, who's a friendly and talkative kitty, and he is very likely once a house cat. He's a big handsome boy with a short coat and gray tabby markings with small white patches. And if you would like to adopt Billy Bob, the wonderful kitty, call 505-316-2281. Or go to fnm.org. And there's also, they have cats at Petco and adoption advisors at Tecatu and Sambusco. And so if you want a kitty, there's a kitty for you.
So tonight, I'm going to start at the beginning of the alphabet. One of my favorite galleries, talk about bubbling up from the community, is a gallery called Axel Contemporary.
Oh, yeah.
It's the
They're great.
The bread truck, and they're having their reception tonight over by the farmer's market of an exhibition called Cut Blue Fold, an exhibition of art by Gail Rieke, by Charles Greeley, John Voorhees, Jose Salas, Catalina Delgado Trunk, Susan Case, and Donna Ruff. And they all deal with what you can do with paper. Cut it, glue it, fold it. The exhibition is fantastic. It's open to the public. It's free. And when I say open to the public, it's in the public.
Well, it's in a van that drives around.
Not a van, a bread truck. Thank you.
Okay.
It's not just a van. It's really this gorgeous truck. And I have to send a shout out to Jerry and Matthew because they have really reached into the community, made connections, and made it as exquisitely public as it possibly can be.
Well, we just talked to We the People Community Acupuncture, who are making acupuncture available to everybody, and these guys are doing kind of community art in a funny way.
Yeah, exactly. Backstreet Bistro has an exhibition that opens called Rock Yards and Rusting Memories, the photographs of Kurt Kempter and Bruce Paquette. And if you don't know who these guys are, Kurt Kempter is one of my favorite local Santa Fans. He's a volcanologist and a geologist. He has these amazing tours that he takes
people
Vulcans?
Out on.
No, volcanoes.
Just kidding.
He may be a Vulcan. We're not sure. He's very tall, but he doesn't have pointed ears. And Kurt has been photographing this amazing landscape in the Southwest. He actually was mapping the Jemez Mountain for the U.S. Geological Survey. So he's out there. He's a brilliant photographer. The work is gorgeous. Go out to Backstreet Bistro, get yourself a cup of soup, and check out
Can
the
I just
amazing
say
photographs.
Mushroom Backstreet Bistro mushroom soup?
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about matzo ball soup? I mean, we could go all over the map. Backstreet Bistro makes me think I should stop making soup because I can't do it that well. I still make it.
I think you should keep making soup, but I'm just saying, the mushroom soup there is transcendental.
Yes, it is. And we wonder, and I've asked them exactly what kind of mushrooms are in there, because by the time you're done a bowl of that mushroom soup, you're feeling mighty fine.
On that note,
go for it. Go for it.
Fine Arts for Children and Teens is having an event today. It's an exhibition of student work of children and teens who've participated in that program. So it's today from 5 to 7 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation, which is at 401 Halona Street behind the Michael Wigley Gallery on Paseo de Peralta. And for more information, you can go to factsantafe.org.
At Legends Santa Fe, which is a wonderful new gallery down on Lincoln Avenue, right next to the History Museum, they're showing work of Frank Buffalo Hyde. The reception's from 5 to 7 tonight. The work is beautiful and powerful. It's a political exploration of the arts being used to present and open ideas about indigenous culture and native practice. Llewellyn Gallery, if you're up for some amazing paintings of cats going along with the adopted
kitty.
I know,
what happened to our whole dog theme?
And birds and a couple of monkeys. They're paintings by Tom Palmore, and it's phenomenal. And the other exhibition that's up at Llewellyn Gallery downtown is called A Line of Nature, Continuing Exploration with the Work of John Fincher. So we've got Tom Palmore, who's not from Santa Fe, and John Fincher, who is. Very beautiful exhibition. I recommend it. Another thing that's going on in a completely different direction is at Mill Fine Art. And Mill Fine Art is up on Canyon Road. It's this beautiful little sort of nook of an old hacienda that's now a gallery. And it's presenting work by members of the New Mexico Glass Alliance. It's a whole group of artists, each with one work, and what they can do with glass is phenomenal. So there's an amazing array of things going on tonight alone. Thai Gallery is opening a new exhibition called Desert Bloom, Form and Motion in Clay, and it's the ceramic sculpture by Fujimi Sachiko, I never know how to pronounce properly the Japanese, but they are these delicate vessels and forms of porcelain mostly, and they're poetic. So it's a very different kind of work that is high on the list. Of course, there's the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival.
Wait, can I do one more art exhibition?
Oh, yeah. I've got more.
Oh, okay.
This is just today.
This is today.
Oh, good. Go.
Tom Berg, opening reception. He's a painter at Wade Wilson Fine Art, which is on Canyon Road, and it's from 5 to 7, as are most openings.
Most openings. On Friday night. Wade Wilson, thank you for bringing that up. Wade Wilson is a new gallery here in Santa Fe, and, you know, it's kind of a wonderful comment as the economy goes wobbly and things are not going well, to have people with enough faith in the art market to open a new gallery.
I know.
Here's to Wade Wilson. But what I was starting to say is I want everyone to know that the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival is on. Juan Cidi Flamenco is on. The opera is on. And the Santa Fe Bandstand is on from Monday through Thursday. Bandstand is free. Go out and support our local public programming that is made for all the locals and all the tourists out there, keeping us alive and well.
Can we talk for a moment about the, which we've already did yesterday, but I'll do it again right now, the symposium at the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival?
Yes.
It is, what is it called? Music, the Brain, wait, how did that go?
Yeah, it's Music, the it's, I think it's on Saturday.
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, believe it or not.
When music sings, the brain listens and the heart modulates.
Music, the Brain, Medicine, and Wellness, a Scientific Dialogue. So there's some public programs. You can go to the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival website and check it out. And then there's the symposium, which if you're really hardcore, you can go the whole weekend. But there's going to be some lecture demonstrations and some concerts. And I am so excited about this, I just don't even know what to do.
Well, what you should do is go to as much of it as you can possibly
manage.
I'm going
to, but it starts at 8 a.m.
So, yes.
That's against my...
Well, so do you some mornings. some amazing talks that are going on. The Creative Santa Fe is presenting a talk this evening at 5:30 that's at the New Mexico History Museum. And Creative Santa Fe is bringing an energy and a focus to Santa Fe in a way that is just fabulous. They're bringing speakers and ideas to Santa Fe that are so powerful and so possible to be transformational. And tonight they're bringing National Endowment for the Arts Director of Design Jason Schupach, and he's going to be talking about creative placemaking now, not only Santa Fe but the entire nation and the support that it's getting from the Endowment for the Arts. So go out, it's inexpensive. There's no charge tonight for this talk, and if you can get a ticket, I recommend it highly. The other is a talk that's going on that starts at 6 p.m. at Collected Works. The author will be there. Her name is Deanne Stillman, and she's talking about Desert Reckoning, a town sheriff, a Mojave hermit, and the biggest manhunt in modern California.
I saw that. I can't, because I am not Superman or woman. I can't read as many books as I would like to. I would do a book a day if I could, but my brain can't do it, or my eyes.
Nobody's brain can do it.
To do that book, but anyway, you should go to Collected Works.
Yes. And other things that are going on today at the is the 21st annual Zia Regional Rodeo. It's the New Mexico Gay Rodeo Association, and that just makes me happy. It's out at Rodeo de Santa Fe. Rodeo school goes from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. today. And I have to tell you that there's a whole series of events. The 21st annual Zia Regional Rodeo is going to go, not only, it's going to start tonight, start today with the rodeo school. If you've ever wanted to know how to ride a bronco or catch a sheep or hog tie a calf, this is where you want to be.
I'd like to let others learn that.
And Saturday and Sunday will be a full rodeo performance. So there's something marvelous. The other thing that's happening that just makes me smile. Here we are, we're out in the Southwest, we're in New Mexico, and so rarely do we really interact with nature. The Santa Fe County Fair opens on Friday. Today, at 8 o'clock as we began, and it runs all day at the county fairgrounds way down on Rodeo Road, and it also runs all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and it's really remarkable. Those of us who come from the East are accustomed to 4-H, and the idea of getting
4-H.
Young people involved with husbandry and grooming and raising animals. This is the county fair where you're going to see canning and baking and all those things that are at the core of who we are as a nation, And I think everybody should come out and support it. I think it's great. I'm going out to support it.
County fairs are fun.
County fairs are fun. And they're very different than the New Mexico County Fair. This is a little one that's as intimate as Santa Fe is.
And on a more somber note, it is time to remember once again the anniversary of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And one thing that's going on is the Vision Without Fission Conference and Film Festival. Yep. That's tomorrow at the CCA.
Yes.
And there's all sorts of things going on. There's a panel discussion on spiritual activism and nuclear guardianship at 1:45. There's a panel discussion called Nuclear Economics, which I think should be very important, at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
There's an address by Arjun Makajani from Pearl Harbor to Hiroshima, and lots of other things. So
Kristen Iverson is going to be talking, and Pancho Ramos-Steerl is going to be talking, and they're going to be screening some amazing films, The Forgotten Bomb, White Light, Black Rain. This is really an important event, and although Monday is actually Hiroshima Day, August 6th, this is one of those programs, and God bless Jason Silverman and Aaron Elder for pulling this together. It's a very important program.
And all the other people in the Nuke Free Now coalition, including Occupy Santa Fe and Unoccupy Albuquerque and New Mexico Nuclear Watch and many more.
Right. And it runs from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So it's all day Saturday. Drop in when you have time. There's going to be something amazing going on.
And I think, I just would like to make a plug for going to things like that, because sometimes people say, oh, that's too depressing, I don't want to go. But it's often really interesting, and you learn things that you didn't know before, and it's part of being a good citizen, and there's always really cool people there.
And what you get is the opportunity to talk to people who are really knowledgeable about what we can do. You know, so many times we find ourselves immobilized and panicked by what appears to be going on or this very difficult information. But these guys are really about making change. So drop in, support them, spend the whole day. It's all good. Another thing that's going on Saturday is something that makes me happy. You know, most people associate rock and metal and funk music with beer and sort of loud.
Speak for yourself.
Excuse me. As In We is an amazing group who are going to be performing at 6 p.m. on Saturday at Who's Donuts. So it's about really good, cutting-edge music, community, and donuts
and
instead
donuts.
Of beer. So I'm telling you,
donuts instead of beer.
Donuts.
It's the
donuts.
More healthful.
And the thing that's so much fun is they're going to be baking the whole time. So you will not only get great donuts from Who's, you're going to get great donuts right out of the oven.
It's a sensory experience.
It's a sensory experience.
Smell, and taste, sound,
and the music
sight.
Is phenomenal because it's a real hybrid of metal and funk and rock and a little bit of classical. It's going to be a rockin' night. So 6 p.m. at Who's Donuts, bring it on.
And if
you're not in the mood for donuts, on Saturday and Sunday, Joe Hayes, talking about storytelling.
Oh.
One of the greatest storytellers in New Mexico. Joe Hayes is a hero who's going to, after 30 years of gathering and practicing these stories, he's going to be talking at the Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian, 7 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, outside on the dance grounds. So bring a folding chair, bring a blanket, bring something to munch on and eat, and just revel in the extraordinary abilities of Joe Hayes.
And speaking of bring a blanket, don't forget Midsummer Night's Dream is still going on at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. They've had many, many, many people go and see it. It's a
the
free performance.
Santa Fe Shakespeare Society,
yep.
Absolutely.
And the 40th annual Girls Inc. Arts and Crafts Fair is happening 9 to 6 on Saturday and 9 to 5 on Sunday. And it's right downtown. It's on the plaza.
Yeah.
So there'll be booths all over the place and lots of nice, fun, and beautiful stuff.
Absolutely. And speaking of Sunday, Sunday is the 17th annual Santa Fe Farmers Market Farm Tour. The whole idea of the county fair. It's so amazing to go out to these farms and to meet the farmers and see the farms from which much of our local produce comes. And it's going to happen in Stanley, in Dixon, in Velarde, in Abiquiu, and Tierra Amarilla. It goes from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a self-guided tour. You don't have to climb on a bus, although from an environmental position. From an environmental position, it would be nice. But this allows people to pick and choose where they want to go, go out and meet the farmers, see the farms. It's really an enlightening and mind-expanding experience.
And tomorrow from 9 to 3, there is a book sale at the Legal Tender at the Lamy Railroad Station and History Museum. It's a big book and burrito sale in the Americana Room and on the patio. Thousands of books from private donations and also some books that were from the KSFR book sale. So
awesome.
And they've got, it's sort of like almost like buying them by the yard. You can buy books by the bag.
Hey, there's no better way to buy books than by the bag. And then you get home and you get to take them out and one of the things that I always love about going to these book sales is that you get to go home, open the book, and realize who had it before you often. Sometimes there are inscriptions that are books that are very meaningful to a person, giving them to another. And it creates a kind of history of the book that's personal and community and always enriches my purchases of books that get recycled.
Well, and what sometimes it's funny, to Susie on her graduation 2011, and it's already gone.
Oh, well, that's scary. But the ones I love are from Aunt Maud. This was an important book to me when I was growing up, and it's from, 1963.
Right.
So,
hey, guess what? Name Your Price adoption fee at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. It's part of the ASPCA 100K Challenge. And they are letting people come in and adopt an animal and do this Name Your Price adoption fee. So if you feel like you want to adopt a beautiful animal and you're a little short on funds right now, you better have enough funds to feed the dog if you get a dog.
Hey.
But you can get a low-priced animal. And so they are open from 11 to 5. And they also have adoption hours at the Camino Entrada Satellite Clinic. And so go to sfhumanesociety.org.
Well, on Monday evening at 6 p.m., the Santa Fe Art Institute is presenting another pair of amazingly bright and innovative creative minds.
Who I'm going to have on the show on Monday.
Wonderful. John Carey and Courtney Martin are going to be talking about the Bitaro Hospital in Rwanda, which is a MASS, M-A-S-S, design group project. And, as the country wrestles with social issues concerning haves and have-nots, wealth and poverty, many architects who are not building much and designers are beginning to focus on the impact of design on public space. So tonight's talk by Jason Schupak and Monday's talk by John Carey and Courtney Martin really dovetail beautifully. John Carey's a design activist, which is what Bucky Fuller called himself, really, really engaged in how architecture and design impact community. And John and Courtney Martin is an activist, a feminist, a writer, quite wonderful, are going to be talking about their work together in the field of public interest design. The title of the lecture is Design Stories, Beginning, Middle, No End. And nice. Then again on the following Monday, on the 13th, Courtney Martin's going to present an interactive lecture/workshop called Feminism in the New Media Landscape. So I recommend both to the entire community.
And on Monday after that event, at 7:30 at the James A. Little Theater, the Santa Fe Institute is doing an extraordinary panel discussion called Complexity, Life, Scale, and Civilization. And they're taking on little subjects like the origins of the universe, the origins of life, the development of complexity, and the development of culture and its relationship to biology. Just the normal.
Small topics.
No, amazing. David Krakauer is the moderator, and he's a wonderful speaker. We're also having him on the air on Monday. And Lord Colin Renfrew from Oxford University, Sir Christopher Llewellyn Smith from Cambridge, Murray Gell-Mann from the Santa Fe Institute and Melanie Mitchell from Portland State University. An amazing group of people, every single one of them, and it should be very interesting.
This is Intellectual Royalty.
James
folks.
A. Little Theater.
Intellectual Royalty. On Tuesday, there's a really fine celebration called Feast for Peace, and young leaders from both Israel and the West Bank are going to be there. There's going to be food from local restaurants. It's a fundraiser for creativity for peace, and I recommend it to anyone who would like to see how powerful bringing people together to share stories outside of conflict zones.
And Hamakom, the place for passionate and progressive Judaism, is having a special event fundraiser on Sunday at 10 in the morning. It's an art and garden tour, which is hosted by the wonderful Ted Flicker. So for more information on that, 992-1905.
Ted and Barbara Flicker have a home up there on Tano Road, but I have to tell you that as amazing as homes are, this one isn't remarkable for a big swimming pool or fancy architecture. It's a sculptor and a gardener who live together and have created gardens that are sculpture gardens and gardens that will make you drool.
I know. I don't know how she does it. She does it all herself.
And Barbara does all of that herself, but also she does...
I can't even weed my little pathetic plot.
Yeah, I know that. I've been there. You don't want to tell the public about it. Although your crop of goat heads is phenomenal.
Oh, shush.
Now, what I have to share with you is one of the weeds that you have cultivated in your garden is purslane. And it's a great ground cover. What I learned
it's
from
good to
Deborah
eat.
Madison, yes,
you can eat it.
Is that it's good to eat. It's healthy. It's filled with vitamins. So just remember that weeds are just plants.
Weeds are people, too.
We didn't choose to cultivate. They're volunteer plants. They're even better.
Actually, I don't want to say it's pathetic, because I'm really trying to garden, and I haven't killed anything yet, but I decided...
Oh, you don't want to say that publicly.
I haven't.
Not this year.
Oh, shush.
I'm sorry.
No, but what I did was I dug out some weeds from the part next to the sidewalk, and I planted them in my yard because they're beautiful, like scarlet globe mallow.
Yes.
And these funny little yellow things.
Yes. So, I truly, weeds are those plants that we choose not to cultivate, but they're just as valuable, and in nature, those weeds support the entire ecosystem.
Back to school.
Be nice to weeds.
Back to school to, except for the awful ones like bindweed, which I'm trying
bindweed
to destroy.
Bindweed and goathead, yes. We should get rid of them along with mosquitoes.
Back to school tools, preparing to deal with bullies. This is an introductory workshop that's happening on Sunday afternoon, sponsored by Impact Personal Safety. And so there's a lot of things going on for young people. And I'll tell you, Impact Personal Safety has really saved a lot of young people.
Yes.
And
yes.
A lot of people. For more information, you can call them at 992-8833. And it's a terrific organization.
One of the things that we always think is in time of difficulty, we're going to know what to do. But we don't.
No, you have
Our
to be
brain
trained.
Goes blank, and you have to be trained. Two last things. Thursday night, an evening of cabaret with Patricia Raquette. It is a fundraiser for the Santa Fe Desert Corral at the Lensic. It should be a fantastic performance. And the 28th annual Santa Fe Mountain Man Trade Fair is going on Thursday in the courtyard of the History Museum. Just being in that central courtyard is worth it. And this is an amazing array.
And don't forget also Michael Chapdelaine at Gig tonight. And Gig is on 2nd Street. And he is a classical fingerstyle guitarist, supposed to be an amazing guitarist. So you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Diane Karp is with us many Fridays, speaking of the arts. Rob DeWalt will be back next week.
Yay, Rob!
And maybe even the week after, we'll see. It's nice to have multiple voices on this show. It's always great to have you. And stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Thanks to the wonderful Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. You can write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. Go to my new Facebook site, facebook.com/radiocafemc, and have a wonderful day. Hasta la vista.
Adios.
Ciao.